You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know, but after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when you're given the gift of a porcelain doll, but there's something about the doll that seems to make it more than just a child's toy?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. You can write in. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com. I think I just said that. Anyway, if you want to keep the show on the air, support the show, get a whole bunch of extras, EPP bonus episodes, extra podcast person. That's what EPP stands for. You can sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes that are ad-free. You get our ebook, our audiobook, those two both Amazon bestsellers, and it's all yours. $5 a month or do the annual membership and get 1 month free. That's how you can support the thing and keep us afloat. It's Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on this fine day. And how are you?
Well, I was doing great. Well, I mean, all things considered, as great as one can be these days.
Sure.
But you're talking about porcelain dolls.
Yeah.
And they kind of creep me out.
Hate them.
We're recording this at 8:45 in the evening, which means, you know, I'm going to dream about porcelain dolls all night.
That sounds like a Neil Sedaka song or something. I'm going to dream of porcelain dolls all night.
My mom had this weird doll collection, like those porcelain dolls.
Yeah.
And she had, I have no idea that she needed 30 or 40 or 50 of them. And so they kind of overran a lot of her house. So she put them in the spare bedroom. So if you slept there, woke up in the night, they're all staring at you. It's like, quit looking at me.
Yeah. That is hell.
I got to where I'm like, you know, I'll just sleep in the living room. Finally, I'm like, because you have all those damn dolls in the room. How's anyone supposed to sleep in there?
It's the most uncomfortable way to sleep. I had a friend up in Green Bay back in the day, and his wife collected the porcelain dolls, and the guest bedroom was, it was the ledge around like the top of the room, all porcelain dolls, just wall to wall, all four walls. And there was just the creepiest shit. And they were the nicest people in the world. But I don't get the doll collecting thing. I don't understand it. I don't know why. I can understand it more generationally if we're talking about like our grandparents or something like that, because that would be more into that, you know, the era of when these, you know, maybe that this was the beautiful, wonderful toy to have. And as an adult, you tend to look back on your toys and you think, oh, it'd be neat to have that again or something like that. So I get a couple generations ago why that would have been such a big thing. Generations alive today, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it. What are your thoughts?
I think that, you know, every little girl and some boys, they have that doll that they played with, not really played with, like it was their toy, but it was so beautiful that they kept it on a shelf. And so I think as an adult, maybe it's like, oh, I loved that doll so much. And then you see one kind of looks like it. Oh, I love that one too. And my mom would get him and she'd be like, isn't this one just beautiful? I'm like, Mom, it looks like all the rest of them, just in a different outfit.
Yeah. And the thing is, the porcelain thing, though, like that doesn't even like really resemble most of the doll toys that have been around for, you know, most of the current generations around, you know, unless it's like you're really, really old. I mean, everything was made of different materials and plastics and things of that nature, rubbers and such. So that's why, to me, it's like, it's weird that there's this attraction to it. Because my thought is
maybe because it reminded you of your grandparents.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. And it just like keeps evenly getting passed down. I was just wondering if like someday, like my daughter is going to have, there was this one toy that she had where it was a baby and a doll and it shit a lot. So we ended up calling it Baby Shits a Lot. It was like this yellow Play-Doh you'd push into it. Anyway.
Like it really did shit?
Yes, it did. It had diapers and everything. And there was, yeah, it shit. And Harper thought it was going to be fun at first. And then she hated it. And, but to the kids that did like that toy, my thought was like, okay, so like 80 years from now, when these little kids are old women and men, are they going to look back on childhood toys and is somebody going to be tortured by like these plastic Baby Shits a Lot dolls and whatever else, you know, LOL dolls are lining the room.
That would be horrible.
You know, because just generationally, when you look back on what you'd be collecting,
because the LOL dolls could be a little creepy too.
Yeah, those are a little creepy. Harper just is addicted to those things, but they can be a little creepy. Most dolls are, you know, Barbies I never found creepy. You know, like G.I. Joes I didn't find creepy, but there's a lot of, when things start to like get unproportionately weird and I don't know, or too lifelike, I think it just gets creepy.
But old dolls.
Yeah. Do. Yeah. Yeah. The other day we were in an antique store in Harper. Saw a Raggedy Ann doll. She's like, hey, look, we can get our own Annabelle. And she's like, I'll use my money. She wanted to buy an Annabelle doll using her allowance money just to say that she has an Annabelle doll.
Did she?
I didn't let her buy an Annabelle doll. And more so because I don't think Jen would like her having an Annabelle doll. So if that wasn't the thing that would have stopped it, I probably would have let her buy it.
I've been through a lot lately. It's like, you're right, hon.
Yeah, but it would have been why did you let our daughter buy an Annabelle doll? And I know we all know the answer, but I'd have to say it out loud. So, yeah, it was just, that's where that ended. Anyway, let's go to our first story. Our number is 855-853-4802. Our story starts, hey guys, I've called in before and I sounded like an idiot, so I'm going to write instead. Today, or Tony, do not slaughter my grammar too hard. English is not my first language. Okay, so here it goes. This took place when I was about 7 or so. A little background, I can honestly say without a doubt, my mother did not love me. She was abusive, cruel, and only cared about my inheritance that my father left me. I lived with my extended relatives for the first portion of my life. My mother pulled me back to live with her when I was about 7 or so. She had a new husband and decided to play mommy, which was the reason I was with her for the first time since I could remember. Fast forward to the holidays, mom decided to celebrate Christmas with her new husband and brought all the kids a lavish number of gifts. There were 6 of us. When it came to me, I was given one box. This box had a porcelain doll. It was the first and last doll I had ever seen. This doll had brown hair, brown eyes, and was wearing a blue and white outfit, its face fixed with a frown and a tear on its face. I looked, and she and my mother smiled a little too sweetly and asked me if I liked it. I nodded and pushed it beside me and watched my other step half-siblings open their gifts. After we all got the gift opening, I went to my room with the doll and just stared at it for hours. The doll was sad, which was the first that I'd ever seen. However, I just felt it was something more than just a doll, and I couldn't understand why. Eventually, I started noticing little things around my room that had changed. Stuff would be moved or misplaced. I did not think it was the doll, as this was the height of my abuse and had my mother and her husband coming in all hours of the night and day. Then one night, a particularly bad one, I was lying in bed rocking my foot back and forth, and it's a tick that I have until this day. Suddenly the doll fell on me. I knocked it with my foot, but she sat up and put her back on the shelf. It's over my bed. I started bobbing my foot again, making sure not to bump the shelf. The doll fell again. This time I stared at the doll, now lying at my foot, trying to figure out how the hell it fell a second time. Suddenly I felt a sudden pack and was terrified of this thing. This will be, seemed to ooze. This thing felt like it was oozing hate for me. I started crying and ran downstairs where there's a half door leading into a crawl space and stayed there. I could hear what sounded like a doll standing, something being dragged across the carpet. After that night, things got a lot worse. My school supplies would get damaged, crayon markers mysteriously broken. My best friend, who happened to be my cat, would settle next to me, always on alert. Then the bruises and bite marks started to happen, outside of the normal ones I take. They were followed by terrible dreams. I'll not get into detail about the dreams, as I don't wish to be on them anymore, but they were bad. It plagued me for years, and I fell into a deep depression and became a very self-destructive throughout my teen years. My only comfort was my cat. I escaped from my mother at 15. I moved out and got an apartment and got a high school certificate. I later put myself through college, a small parapsychology room where we are weirdos. We get together and talk about ghosts and spirits, and at least that was the rumor at the time. Actually gave me information on what actually had happened. See, this doll wasn't just any doll. It was actually a vessel doll, and it was given to me by my mother with an intent to harm me even further. This doll did have a bad spirit attached to it, and my mother initially gave it to me. It wouldn't be until my late 20s that I found out why. You see, my mother pulled me back when I was a child because I had inherited a large sum of money when my father had died, and I had a life insurance policy, I guess is what you would call it, that if I died, she would get the rest of my money. Thankfully, after finding out that this was a vessel doll, the medium in the group did tell me that I did not have an attachment. So the vessel doll was very much unsuccessful in harming me, aside from the physical harm. Fast forward to 8 years later, I'm now in my 30s, a well-adjusted adult and a proud weirdo. I read everything I possibly can about the parapsychology field and actually found out I am sensitive myself. I can feel things when I walk into the room. I can feel energies. I believe that this was a survival skill that I had to learn as a child. I can also feel people. I can feel as if they are good or if they're bad. I learned to stay away from the bad ones relatively quickly. There have been a lot more paranormal experiences throughout my life, but I'll save it for another time. But I thought you guys would be interested in hearing about the vessel doll. When I moved out of the age of 15, I threw that doll out along with the other stuff. I refused to take it to my apartment. I do believe that any attachment it was attempting to form was severed. Anyway, that's my story. It's not a glamorous doll story, but it is a doll story, to say the least. I do apologize for any typos. I do have a cap on my lap that wants to get my attention at all times. I discovered through several of my paranormal encounters and experiences that I really don't like people. I'm fun, outgoing, and social when I need to, but I'd much rather be home surrounded by my animals. I feel much safer with my cat. Anyway, if you want to use this, great. If not, great too. Well, I thought it was a great story. So thank you for writing in and sharing that account of the dolls. What are your thoughts, Carol?
Well, it made me sad that her, I'm assuming her, since it was a doll, had such a horrible childhood.
Sure.
And that the mom would do something like that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it sounds like there was physical abuse from the parents. So as the story's going along, I'm like, please let this get better. Please let this get better. Yeah. And it did. It sounds like, you know, I'm glad that she was able to totally sever that by getting rid of the doll. But I mean, that's horrible.
Yeah.
That your mom, and then to, even if the doll didn't have some weird shit attached to it, the fact that you would give your child a doll that is a sad doll with a tear on its cheek.
Yeah, that's some sadistic shit right there.
Like, what? That's the one Christmas present your kid gets? I'm like, that's bad enough.
You get the crying doll. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I mean, obviously there's like the overt passive aggressive sign you're getting right there and everyone else can see it too. But then you get all the benefits of the doll that's possessed and is trying to, you know, steal your life, essentially.
And how does one even find, not that I want one, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. eBay.
How do you even find a doll like that?
eBay. Yeah. Now, I'm
possessed doll. Maybe she had it. Maybe it's something that she had.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, it sounds like it took place probably before the days of eBay possessed doll sales. But eBay does. People do sell what they call and claim to have and be haunted dolls on eBay. And yeah, it's a thing.
Oh, Jesus. No way.
Wouldn't it be fun for Halloween if we both randomly send each other a possessed doll and then we can compare stories and see whose does worse shit?
I'm trying to think. Who else could you send one to? Who would appreciate it more than me?
I got a huge list of people.
Like anybody.
So if anybody happens to get a doll for Halloween gifts, because that's something now, blame COVID. Just know it's a lovely, lovely gift. Put it somewhere where you'll see it often. But no, it is a thing. I think we've even had letters from people who thought, you know, yeah, bullshit, but they look spooky and I like spooky things and they bought it and then shit started getting real. So, you know, not to say all of them are legit, but who knows? Who knows what which is which?
I do this show with you.
Yeah.
And so you know that, like, I've had my own experiences as a kid, and maybe that's, well, and actually more than just when I was a kid, kind of throughout my whole life.
Yeah, but every house.
not every house, not this one, as I'm knocking on the table.
Give it a week.
But I just don't know why you would invite that in.
Yeah.
That I don't get. Like, I get why people are intrigued by it. Like, I did the Haunted Eureka Springs tour. Like, I'll do stuff like that.
Sure.
But I'm not going to order a haunted doll off of eBay.
Yeah.
I don't even like going to estate sales and shit.
I do.
Anybody's stuff in my house necessarily.
Estate sales are cool because you can wander through the house and just kind of see how everybody lived. I've always liked that. But and I love just seeing like houses that have been untouched, and it's harder and harder to.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, I don't know that I need anything to bring home from it.
No, I actually go for the architecture, where I used to. They've become less exciting over the last handful of years because the generation that really kind of had some distinctly cool architecture in their homes is passed on, and many of those houses have been updated and such. But, 10, 20 years ago.
They all now have big ass open floor plans.
Yeah. 10, 20 years ago, estate sale.
They're like, I want walls.
Yeah. They were great. Yeah. But what I found funny, and then we'll move on to our next story, when we were before we had moved and everything, or the last many times we moved, when we went and looked at houses, the amount of houses we go into and our kids would be looking around like, oh my God, this looks so dated. And me and Jen are like, well, Jen knows it's dated, but I'm like, oh, it seems like my mom and her friends like just did their kitchen like this. And in reality, that was like 25 years ago. But in my mind, it does not seem that long ago. But it's like, oh yeah, this probably belonged to someone my mom's age, you know? But it's still like the thoughts of like where things date to and all that. It's all just such a perspective thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, 855-853-4802. Let's go to our next caller. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Orlando, Florida. So I have a story for you today. It's going to be mostly my mother's story. Pretty much all of it's my mother's story. And she's just going to talk about an experience we had in an old house. So, Mom, take it away.
Hello. So this was roughly around 2016 in Winter Park, Florida. We moved to this very old rental house, and it was built in the early 1900s. And, I've really never believed in anything, never had anything happen to me per se until this pink house. So we moved in, and then my youngest daughter started. She said that she felt a little kid touch her shoulder in the bathroom. She heard a music box, but it was always in the bathroom where she felt uncomfortable and would hear the music box. She said it was like children laughing in her ear and touching her shoulder. So one day, I was in the hallway of the house, and I said, you know, you can't, you know, you're in control, you know, there's nothing in here, you know, and I was like, just like saying, you know, you're in control, there's no ghost in here. It was the same night, my youngest daughter and I slept together, and we have a pug, her name is Millie, and we're in bed, and we're fast asleep. My oldest daughter's back in college, so she wasn't home at the time. And my elderly mother lived with us, and she was on the complete other side of the house. So this is around midnight, and I'm awakened to someone calling, Millie, Millie. And I'm thinking, what in the heck? And my daughter, my dog jumps up, and she's barking, but she does not leave the bedside. Like, she would not go out of the bedroom. She's just barking. And so I got up and walking down the hall thinking that it's my mother. Although it was like a young voice, it was not my mother's voice. So I get to the dining room, and I notice that my mother's door underneath is completely black. So she was asleep. So I walk around the table, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it back down the hall, back in the bedroom, because that was not my mother. I don't know what just happened, and I'm in a total shock of panic. I go back into bed. The dog never left the bed. She's still barking, but I calm her down. And then, you know, my daughter, she never woke up. I don't remember her waking up at all. And so I lay back down. I calm down the dog. And then all of a sudden, something comes like racing down the hall. It's a very long hallway, by the way. It comes racing down the hall, and it halts right at my door. My door was open, the bedroom door. And a flash of blinding light goes flying up to the top of the ceiling. It was almost like a big sheet, but it was like just a huge flash, and it was a huge like sheet, white-like, and it goes flying up in the air, and then poof, it was gone. I'm immediately like, what just happened? And again, in just a total shock, like, okay, did I just go crazy? What just happened? It was very silent after that. My dog calmed down. I went to sleep. I woke up the next morning thinking, did I have a dream or did this happen? I knew it was not a ghost. It was more like, when I Googled it, it was definitely an apparition. That's exactly what happened. And not only that, I would always see an old lady, like in a smock in the backyard, looking into the window. And this was on like three or four occasions. I would just randomly look out. It was a huge window in the dining room. I would look out to the backyard, and she would be all the way at the fence just looking in. And when I would look away and look back, she was gone. So that happened several times also. So that is my story. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for taking the time to make that recording and send it in and share that that story. What are your thoughts?
That was creepy. Like, the waking up in the middle of the night and hearing somebody's voice you don't even know calling for your dog, that would freak me out. Now I've got one more thing to worry about.
That's a weird one. I don't think I've ever heard that before, where the ghost calls for the dog.
Right?
That's a new one.
Really, the ghost is calling for you to get your attention, because you get up. Because it's like, oh, you know, it's mom calling for my dog. No, it's not. What is it? That's strange.
He wants to get the dog and then make it go all Pet Cemetery on you. That's the goal. That's what's going on there.
And the dog's like, I ain't getting up. Yeah. I'm going to stay right here. You go see.
That was a great story. Thank you so much for calling that in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I should talk about this because I believe this is the, I'm looking at my calendar. Well, aside from Halloween Day, which is the 31st, which will be a Harp and Me episode. In the evening of Halloween, October 31st, obviously, of this fine year, 2020, since most of us aren't really going to be doing anything, and a lot of us aren't trick-or-treating, and there's so many things of, you know, it's weird. It is what it is. We are going to be doing a live Halloween show, and actually our kids are going to dress up, and they'll be making appearances, and we'll be doing, you know, ghost stories live on Halloween night. Jen and myself and Harper and Olivia will also be on with us, and it's taking ghost stories and just kind of having our own little Halloween party online on our Facebook page. So follow us on Facebook, and then be sure to be tuning in Halloween night. I'd say probably 8 o'clock. I think it's, I haven't said an exact time yet, but probably about 8 p.m. Central time is when that will be going on. So that should be.
I love that idea.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. So maybe we can even make somehow have a, you have a special appearance or something via Skype.
Well,
or
I can't. As you know,
you work on Saturday nights.
I write plays.
Yes.
And that's closing night.
That's true.
So I will be closing night in my play.
That's so we're going to have some fun. And it's a different world. But we're still eating our Halloween candy from last year. If it tells you how too much we got last year. There's just, we still have like three buckets.
You guys are really good at rationing candy, like way better than
I. We're not. We're really not. I have two girls and my wife and myself, and it's at least once a day those buckets come down. So we got a lot of candy. But
we really have to go buy a bunch of candy for the girls.
We're going to. Yeah, we are.
They have, you know, massive amounts of candy, even though they didn't go ask for it.
Yep, we're going to do that right before and let them pick out whatever they want, like a bag or two. And then we'll come home and we'll do probably spooky Halloween movies and that sort of stuff. And then when it comes time to go on the air, we will go on the air and we'll have some fun. That's, and they can show off their costumes.
I love that.
Yeah, it'll be fun, and I'll probably even have a way to submit if you have a Halloween picture or something, you know, that we can submit and show on the screen and all that. But anyway, that's a Halloween night, so be sure to join us for that. Let's do another caller. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And hello.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Alex, big fan. Been listening to you guys for a while. I listen to your podcast overnight because I'm a gig worker, and I'm telling you, when you listen to your podcast at night, it's a whole different thing. You get the whole goosebumps and everything, and I love it. Anyways, I'm calling to share a story about an experience I had when I was a young kid. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I used to live on the north side of the city of Chicago in this, you know, little small apartment. My mom, older brother. So this one experience I had is where, and I can't forget this either. I remember watching television one day, right? I was in, you know, my mom's room, because that's the room where we had like the cable TV. And I, you know, go in there, watch cartoons or whatever. So it was about an hour and a half before we went to bed. So I'm still watching Cartoon Network and whatnot, Toon Network. And the phone rings, you know, we had a landline, of course, you know, 90s. And so I picked up the phone and you hear a whole bunch of weird, like, it's kind of hard to explain. It's like garbled, pixelated noises, kind of. I don't know. It was weird. It's like somebody tried to communicate with me and I couldn't understand them, so I hung up. They called back again. Same thing. These weird noises, weird. Something was trying to communicate with me, you know, and it wasn't like static or nothing. It was like clear as a bell. So after that happened, you know, everybody's asleep. And it had to have been like around 12:30, 1 in the morning, where my room, you know, I shared a room with my brother, and it's just the roof collapsed, you know, part of the roof collapses, like this big hole. And I specifically remember these three weird alien looking things coming down, right? And it was just so strange where they looked like, you know, your stereotypical aliens, I guess you could say. They had kind of like some body armor suits, and the same way they were trying to communicate on the phone, the same way they were talking when I saw them. I got up out of my bed. I ran to my mom's room, right? Then I peeked over because my brother was still sleeping. And they were gone. And, you know, I told my mom, I remember telling my mom the next day about what happened with the whole situation that was there the next day. I remember telling my mom, hey, you know what I saw yesterday? These three weird alien looking things. Of course, my mom thought I was crazy. And she tried to give me an explanation about what happened. She just said that the roof had collapsed and that's it, you know. But I knew it was much more than that because to this day I remember what happened. And if it was a bad dream, then it's a really vivid bad dream that I remember, you know, years from when it happened. Because I'm close to 30 now and this happened years ago, you know. But, thank you for listening to my story, and I love your show. We'll keep listening, you know. Thank you.
So, very interesting story. It's ghostly, and we really don't cover aliens on this show, like, ever. But I will, of course, entertain the story, because it's very interesting. What are your thoughts?
You know, it's... I think there's times in your life where you know what you saw.
Yeah.
And so somebody can say no, you know, and try to explain it away.
Yeah.
But if you saw something that freaky.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not excusing the alien possibility. I'm not anti-alien. We just don't do those stories. But it's sometimes this is like a perfect story where sometimes those two like worlds can interconnect. And it's like, well, what was it that happened? Was that alien-ish? Was it ghost-ish? It's hard to know.
Yeah, that one's freaky.
I mean, something to have the power to, you know, make the roof somewhat cave in, you know, and if there's no storm, no tree falling on it, I mean, it takes some force to make that happen, you know, even to a shitty roof, you know. So it would be like something did something. And I could see as a kid, you know, there's certain things you can, you know, missee or your memory is a little off on, but that would be such an extremely different memory, you know, to have versus what actually happened when you look back on that.
You know, I could see, like, I lived in a pretty dumpy house for quite a while, actually, and the ceiling caved in,
mm-hmm.
a big section of it. And I think, I don't know why, but I think, you know, it was a rundown house, and maybe yeah. that was the thing. You might be able to explain the roof.
Yeah. But the things
fell down, but for that to fall down and that to happen at the same time, like, yeah. what's up with that?
Yeah,
you know, and you know, when you see something like, yeah, that would scare the crap out of me. The roof just collapsed in.
Mm-hmm.
That would be scary enough. Then when you have some weird thing that you saw at the same time, I don't know.
Yeah. I just think, and the way the details of how he described it, it happened. I mean, there, you know, and memory can be tricky sometimes, but certainly something happened beyond that roof just coming down that he saw, and to make that kind of an imprint. So thank you.
That is another show. Cause I've listened to those people talk about seeing aliens. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to happen to me either.
No, that's a whole other world. And it's maybe someday I'll venture into it. I never thought I would go into true crime either, but we got Dark Side too. And that I'm loving, but maybe someday we'll enter the alien world in another program. I don't know. But thank you for sharing that story with me. Really very much appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, support us. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And sign up. $5 a month. Get all the bonus episode, advanced episodes, ebook, audiobook, and more. And thank you for your support. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.